God damn it. Right out the gate. Hi, everyone. Asbot. I did not mean to start coughing right in your ear, everyone. I apologize. Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Space Game Junkie podcast. Son of a gun. I am your co-host, Brian, and joining me, as always, is your co-host, Spaz.
Hello.
Sadly, we are still missing Jim. He is still having severe internet issues. Come on, Spectrum. Get with it already. It's been 3 weeks, and he is still having terrible... He put it in an FCC complaint. That's how bad it is. And Hunter, as you might all remember, is in the middle of a move. He's moving from North Carolina to Ohio, which is no easy feat. I don't envy him. Moving sucks, especially moving multiple states during a pandemic. So, best of luck to him. So yeah, we're still missing a couple people, but we have a guest for you all tonight joining us from Shanghai, which is probably one of our furthest away guests. and we've done Australia, we've done New Zealand, and now we're doing China. You might be our first guest from China. I don't remember another guest from China. We've had Japan, but not China. I think we've had Korea once. Chris Wood, CEO of, I believe your company is called Pixelmatic.
That's right.
Yeah. Here to talk about the upcoming space action MMO anime. It's kind of anime-ish. MMO Infinite Fleet. Welcome. Chris, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thanks very much for having me. It's a real pleasure to be on. You know, I've been kind of following you guys for a good few years now, so it's really exciting to be part of the show, you know?
Well, thank you very much. I really appreciate that. That was great to hear. So, folks, we're just going to throw this out there real quick. First, as I said, Chris is in Shanghai, so there might be some sound issues. We tried to get the connection as best we could beforehand, but you never know with Discord. And two, we were not able to play this. It is early enough that the alpha is being kept very small for now, which is, you know, totally understandable. So the video you're watching in the background that's being streamed as we talk was taken by Chris himself. And so, you know, if we sound like we don't know something about the game, it's because we don't. I just wanted to throw that out there. All right. So first off, why don't you give folks who might not know the elevator pitch? What exactly is Infinite Fleet?
Sure thing. Sure thing. Yeah. So as you said, it's kind of like an anime styled MMO action strategy game. So we're putting a lot of things together and almost carving out a fairly new genre with this thing where you, as with many MMOs, you have a galaxy of stars really that you can kind of go out and colonize, build defense platforms, mining installations, all this kind of thing, and kind of build your sort of little empire within the United Soul Federation, which is the human sort of spacefaring military as such. And we're currently under attack from the Atrox aliens. We don't know how or why. We the developers do, of course, but you as players don't just yet. And at the point where you will be sort of dropping into the game is the sort of the turn of the tide in this battle that's been happening between them. Previously, we were getting absolutely hammered by the Atrox. Many of our colonies have been destroyed and so forth, have been pushed back. But now we have the new Polaris generation of ships, which are ass kickers, and we're starting to push the Atrox back. The idea of the game is, well, I think the really unique sort of selling point of the game is what we call the directed narrative. Now, the thing with the directed narrative is a lot of games out there will say, okay, what you do really matters in the game, right? It really impacts the story and stuff. There's a lot of games, especially in sci-fi, that have said that. But we really wanted to make that an actual thing because we believe that players really need this volition, right? They really want to impact these environments. So with the directed narrative, really what you do impacts on an individual and community-based level. So an example I like to give is that if the Atrox come to Earth, and they try to, you know, destroy it, the community of players has to band together and fight back. And if they fail, then Earth could actually be wiped out and destroyed forever. You know, key characters, whatever, killed, all this kind of thing. And it branches out into a whole new story arc where we're a nomadic race trying to find a new home, you know? And that's one of the core things.
With multiplayer, like with multiple people doing this story. That sounds insanely challenging.
Yes, well, we're taking live ops to a brand new level here, man. So, like, we can dive into the team and stuff later, but what our sort of CEO, the visionary for Infinite Fleet, Thompson Mao, he's ex-Ubisoft. He was one of the executives at Ubisoft previously, and Relic as well. So he worked on Company of Heroes, Dawn of War, those games. And yeah, so he's very... he's used to being ahead of the curve when it comes to it, because, you know, obviously Dawn of War and Company Heroes, they just kind of shook up the entire strategy genre at the time, right? You know, yeah, it was took it down a whole new path, and that's the plan with Infinite Fleet.
Okay, yeah, because just because I have so many questions. And
fire away.
So you have a branching narrative.
Yes.
In a online universe that is procedurally generated, so your website, I think, said.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So what confuses me is most games that have for procedural generation are single player. How can you have multiplayer procedural generation? I guess it's my first question.
As the galaxy gets explored, you have to imagine when the game starts, right? We'll have I guess the genesis event of the game, right? Where everyone first gets on. Not that, you know, it's alpha right now, but this is not, the procedural generation hasn't started yet. So when the game truly releases, maybe open beta around that area, the players will uncover areas of this galaxy and start to colonize and build and whatever. And as they explore, that then gets mapped out, right? Now, that's not to say there won't be challenges, and it's still early days, you know? I mean, this is, of course, ambitious.
Oh, I see. So it's kind of like you're starting from a more static kind of starting point, and it gets procedurally generated as people discover things?
Exactly. It gets built out, indeed. And then yeah. I mean, we still will be crafting certain areas. Like, obviously, the solar system. And just, you know, we want to work with a lot of the information that we already have, right? So, you know, we will be planning out a lot of the galaxy as it actually exists, you know, today with the information that we have. But obviously, a lot of the gaps will be filled with the procedural generation side, because as well, what we want is players to really... build out this galaxy, you know what I mean? Like on the sort of frontiers of war, we expect guilds, which we call divisions, to come together, pool resources and build, you know, massive sort of planet spanning space stations where they essentially donate their resources to these projects and build out defenses against the Atrox, essentially at the where the push and pull points are in the galaxy, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I get it. So you have like kind of a set galaxy, but also these procedural areas that fill in the content gaps.
Yeah.
That sounds great, because one of my favorite MMO is Jumpgate. I don't know if you ever played Jumpgate.
I haven't.
It came out in 19 It hit beta in 99. It came out in 2001. It was a first person flight sim. And it didn't have that big a universe. It had a pretty decent universe, but like that was it. There was nothing procedural. So it really limited any kind of exploration, you know, which is my favorite part of any space game. And
yes,
it sounds like your solution will really, because even Eve like has a really big galaxy, but there's like not like it's pretty much set. Like, Inside the systems, there could be like procedural stuff, like little instances and things like that where you do missions and whatnot. But like the galaxy is set, and it sounds like you're taking it. This sounds so cliched. You're taking it to the next level.
To the next level.
Yeah,
I know.
I'm exhausted saying it. I'm tired.
I'm sure. Yeah, I understand. I'm sure everyone who comes on and says, it's to the next level, man. This is next level stuff.
Where right your here. Choices yeah. really matter. Oh, God. That again. Okay.
How many levels are there?
No, I get it, man. I mean, so many games out there, they're like, oh, you matter, you know, everything. But, you know, we... Like I said, for us, let me give you the pitch on how we'll make it so that you matter, right? Mm-hmm. We had the overall pitch of a community thing where, you know, there'll be these events. So let's take the Earth event, for example. That'd be like a raid, right? Like you would have in WoW, which might span for 2 to 4 weeks or something like that. And across the servers, we'll have data that happens, you know, based on the failures and the successes of different points in that battle, and then at the wrap-up of that raid and that event, then the story arc is presented, right? That whether that be an FMV or whatever it is, Earth gets destroyed, and then we move on, and then, you know, we carry on from there. So our live ops team and our DevOps are essentially have these A and B branches, or maybe a C, right? For the foreseeable future. Obviously, you can't have hundreds of thousands of branches, that's completely unmanageable. But then on the other hand as well, on an individual level, what we might do is in this galaxy, which of course is very expansive and interesting, you can also discover things. So it might be the case that you go out there, do some scans of various planets or whatever it might be, and you somehow discover an artifact or technology that might give access to stealth technology, which we previously didn't have, right? Then that stealth technology would be available as an upgrade tree or as something customizable or buildable throughout, you know, all the players. And you would be the person who's named, right? A base game junkie discovers stealth technology. You see what I mean? And that's where that kind of comes in, that you become important. Now, that's not to say every single individual person can find stealth tech, but there's certainly the opportunity there. You know, there's obviously a level of expectation.
Right. No, I get that. But like, it also sounds like maybe if you don't want to be important, you can just be like, I'm just going to truck minerals from this place to this place.
Yeah.
Which, well, I mean, that's kind of more my speed, really.
Yeah, I'm the same. I mean, I love Elite Dangerous and all. I never fight on it. I literally just truck things from A to B. I just love exploring.
It's really a decent space truck sim. I don't know if you've played, Interstellar Rift, I think it's called, but that's probably the closest. Like what I basically want is someone to make Euro Truck Sim 2 in space. That's basically what I want. Interstellar Rift is probably the closest thing to that so far. So I was just going to recommend, if you like space trucking, that's a game to look into.
I will have a look, because I do, honestly, obviously a lot of people play Elite to get their hands dirty and start shooting people and stuff. But I am quite happy just going from A to B, landing and taking off. And
oh my God.
Seeing a pulsar on the way. And I just love it, man.
Right. In Jumpgate, what I did was mine and haul. That's mostly what I spent. Like other people like would do the fighting and like, oh, that's great. You guys have fun. Yep. I'm just going to run away with my haul here.
Yeah. And that's, one thing about Infinite Fleet as well is that obviously people like to play MMOs in different ways, right? It's like me and you, we probably prefer to just like mine and kick back. And I mean, the way I would play Infinite Fleet probably would be, you know, setting up mining installations and providing the resources to the builders who will be, you know, building these massive space stations and things, because I think it'd be awesome to contribute to that. But the Aatrox are very, very concerned with us mining things, and they come and they always appear. It's a bit like Dune. Do you like Dune?
I've never awesome. Read it. I'm sorry. I'm a terrible
Dune, man.
You know what? It was weird. I started reading it, and then it was like I can't keep track of all these people, and then I just kind of fizzled out. I should probably
the Game of Thrones syndrome. Yeah,
exactly. I had the same problem with Game of Thrones. Like, oh my God, there are just too many people for my brain.
But Spaz, as you know, so obviously like from June, you've got the sandworms, right? So obviously when they mine, sandworms always appear. It's kind of a similar thing. It's kind of a similar thing with us with mining in Infinite Fleet. The Aatrox are going to appear if you hang around for too long. But The good news is, of course, you'll have people, if you're in a resource-rich area, people will, of course, concentrate there, build defense platforms and do this of their own volition, right? It's an open market, shall we say. So the builders will be helping to stave off the Aatrox. The military are going to be helping. They'll be there, you know, fighting back the Aatrox and help, you know, as you are mining your minerals and things. And there's that kind of economy and ecosystem that we intend to drive through a reward system that we can go into in a bit, but through a reward system that will make you very, very, you really want to take part in this whole thing and take your role, right?
So wait, a reward system for such as helping build the space station you mentioned earlier?
Yeah. Well, I don't know if you guys saw much about INF, which is our in-game currency that I know because it got kind of brought up in your guys' community a little bit that someone said, oh, you know, they're mining Bitcoin or something, which which is not the case. But in our game, when you take part and you are contributing to the game, you're rewarded with INF, which is the in-game currency. But this in-game currency, what it does is it allows peer-to-peer trade. So if you have, you know, you spend years like you do on MMOs building your spaceship or fleet of ships, you could sell any number of those ships to other players in-game. We're actually embracing what a lot of MMOs don't, right? You know, a lot of MMOs, they have this black market where people trade or whatever. But for us, we actually completely open arms with that. We allow P2P trade. And the INF token is actually, you can actually take it out of the game. You can actually withdraw it onto a digital wallet as a crypto. So when I think some people maybe are getting a little confused. Oh, you know, in this game you can mine Bitcoin and stuff. That's not the case at all. But INF is a crypto that can be extracted from the game onto a digital wallet and then taken elsewhere. Should you wish?
And how does I'm not familiar. I'll be honest. I'm not really familiar with cryptocurrency.
Sure.
Why would you take it out of the game? Like,
The theory is you could gain real value. You could trade it for other cryptocurrencies should you wish. That's the idea.
There's the
potential for that. There's a potential for that. Or bring it in so people could buy INF. Not from us. We never sell it. We will never sell INF. It's not something that we're selling through. You know, we're not monetizing it or anything like that. But people could buy elsewhere and bring it into the game to buy a ship on the peer-to-peer marketplace if they wished. It'd be like if World of Warcraft gold was tradable on various exchanges and things.
Oh, that's interesting. I must admit, I'm probably one of those people confused by the whole thing because I know nothing about cryptocurrency.
Like, no, I understand. And I think a lot of people, you know, they hear crypto, they hear blockchain, they go, oh, okay, I'm turning off now.
Yeah, I think when I saw blockchain, I was like, oh, no.
Well, look, let me clear this up then, because I tell you, the reason that comes up a lot, and it's totally understandable, is there are a bunch of blockchain games out there, like you may have heard of CryptoKitties. That was kind of a big one that was in the news a lot. And they're not really games, you know, it's mostly just like tradable collectibles and things where people were hoping to make a shit ton of money. But there's a lot of complexity, man. You know, you have to go to these exchanges, you have to download various apps and this, that, and the other to make it work. And, you know, even if you go on the internet and search, you know, top 10 blockchain games and try to play any of them, it's a bloody nightmare. The onboarding process is such a hassle, man. It's such a hassle. But for us with Infinite Fleet, like, now, you know, we as a team, we believe in Bitcoin and stuff, but we're not shoving that down our players' throats by any means, because we've got a game here that you can play just like EVE Online, just like World of Warcraft, whatever. You just get in there, download the client, boom, you're in and you're enjoying it. You'll receive the INF for doing stuff, but you never have to even care about crypto. You never have to withdraw that to your digital wallet if you don't want to. You could simply use it as an in-game currency to buy a ship off someone if you wish. Now, if you got interested in Bitcoin and stuff like that, you could learn there's this extra feature, which, you know, you could do some really cool stuff with it if you want. But we never say, in order to play this game, you need to learn even a little bit about crypto. It's totally and completely up to you. It's just a feature that you can utilize if you want.
Well, that's good, because I would have no idea. Just thinking about it makes my brain start to shut down.
That would be what we might call a chain to win mechanic, or something to that effect.
Sorry, say that again, but I didn't quite catch it.
A chain to win mechanic. I'm trying to make a joke there.
Oh, right.
Jesus. Chain to win. Oh, my God. Yeah, because
close though. Yeah, you're not far off the mark there, Spaz. Yeah, but so, no. Sorry,
so,
go ahead.
So you will get going back to this reward thing we talked about earlier. Say you helped this group build a will there be like player groups and factions in which you take part in building a space station like you talked about, and when you build the space station that you mentioned, you'll get a reward for your contribution? Is that what you were talking about?
Yeah, that's the idea. I mean, I can't go into the specific details right now of how that all works, because what we really want to avoid is like bot farming and such like that, right? So if it was super easy to just like sit there AFK, you know, make a bunch of minions and drop it in there, then that reward would be kind of lame, because obviously people could just bot it, right? So a lot of what we're doing in the first place with this system is really applying it to raids and events, and you know, essentially the MVPs and the people who really contribute to those events are going to be rewarded with more INF for sure. We're still building out the system for how miners will get rewarded, how just general people, you know, just going out and exploring and all this kind of thing. But we will make sure, you know, one of the core pillars here for us is that you have the path that you choose to go, right? You know, whether you want to be this miner, explorer, researcher, fighter, you know, all this kind of thing. But, you know, because we are RTS mostly in background, what we felt was that the best thing to do would be to separate out combat from the wider macro economy, because and Samson, our CEO, always mentions this. I find it quite funny. He said, if you're in a battle, why on earth would you be mining minerals, right? You know what I mean? Why on earth would you be putting pylons down? It makes no sense at all during combat to be building a base, essentially. Your base should be built before combat, right? So that's how we have all the builders and people making the space stations and things. You're customizing your ships outside of combat. You're exploring all that kind of stuff. But when you go into combat, it's like this instance of almost like an RTT, if you know what an RTT game is, right?
Real-time tactical game, like XCOM or something, yeah.
Yeah. So it'd be kind of like an RTT game. So you have the fleet that you've already, you know, you've already kitted it out essentially, and then you've got the instance of combat that, you know, you need to deal with the enemy. And that's kind of how we're rolling with it.
So is that how the kind of gameplay flows? You move from like one instance to the next, will you mine in one instance and then fight in a different instance? You know, that sort of thing. Like, is that how it's envisioned?
Pretty much. I mean, obviously, we want to try and open things up as much as possible, but that's currently how it goes. The thing is, you need to have an instance when you're talking about strategic combat, right? I mean, yeah. If it was just flowing, it would be kind of difficult, because obviously people could kind of just, you know, it's hard to balance how many. Yeah,
I get it. I was just curious, like, how you plan to work that out, because.
But that
makes sense. If you're going to be like, have this like RTS style combat that we're seeing in the video, which kind of reminds me of a little bit of Nexus, the Jupiter incident, a little bit.
That's a good game. Yeah.
Which is a compliment, I must say. You don't want people just like jumping in and ruining your good time, you know? So,
yeah. I mean, I think there will be, you know, it will be possible to jump in and out, but there'll be like caps, right, of how many people can join, because, you know, you don't want like 100 people and there's just like one little truck ship there, you know. But what we, you know, this is still very far from implementation, but what we were discussing in some of the early stages was that we'd have these really cool raids where the Aatrox set up what we call pylons, which are these massive kind of pyramid-like, diamond-like structures which essentially shut down various warp points, right? So for example, our star, the sun, is a warp point. You know, you can travel to it and via the warp technology that we're using. But if the Aatrox construct these pylons, which are essentially like moon-sized structures around the sun, that then the anchor point actually disappears and people can never go there again. Now, these things are huge. So the raid, if you imagine, would have maybe 20 or 30 instances scattered across this pylon. And the effect of what happens on one side of the pylon might affect the other side, right? So one point might have like a big defense cannon or something that fires across servers almost, takes out some various maybe NPC huge Titan capital ships. And, you know, a lot of people are going to try and destroy that defense platform. Whereas in another point, it might be some like energy pylon, which then opens the casing of this thing, this structure, which allows us to get into the core and do the whole sort of the final run to destroy it. Do you see what I mean? Does that make sense?
No, it totally makes sense. It's a multi-layered, I guess use the word again, raid system, where in this particular instance, you're fighting, you and other people are fighting multiple battles to prevent this pylon from being built in the first place.
Because
you don't want to fail. You also, so I guess that leads to my next question. So it's an RPG. Like, do you start off with a dinky little, like nothing of a ship and you have to level up to the good stuff? Do you start off with something fairly competent?
Pretty much. I think it kind of goes a little bit like, you'll start off with like there's the three sort of basic ships, right? And there's five tiers, but that's not the cap necessarily. There will be a cap. There will be a sort of point where, you know, it's not a pay to win model. I mean, it's PvE anyway, so it's not like pay to win even is a thing. But there is a limit that everyone can get to, and obviously you either spend the time to like configure and build and get to that point like you would in EVE or any of the others. Or, of course, you could use the INF P2P marketplace to trade and get a better ship if you don't have that much time. But like I say, there is a cap at which, you know, you can't really get past that that level. What you do have, of course, is just options. So you'll have a dry dock of a whole bunch of ships that, you know, you can collect these things. You'll be able to get loads and loads of ships. There's going to be different generations and a very wide array of different things you can do. And of course you can get in there, change their weapon systems and so on and so forth. But when you go out and fly, currently we have a cap of five ships that you can fly within your fleet at one time. And they'll have little squads as well. And, you know, there are smaller and larger ships. So you can kind of, that your fleets will have will appear differently depending on how you kit it out.
Okay. So, since it's RPG, are there like levels? Do you like need to learn a thing to fly a specific ship like in EVE, or is it just
still early days? That's still early days for us. The designers are still working on that system yet, but right now we just have tiers of ship, and the ships themselves are essentially leveled up currently.
I see.
But we haven't, I'll be honest, we haven't really got into the core crux of that yet, because it's still quite early days.
Well, that's fair. I mean, if your ship is your avatar, like leveling your ship up would also make sense. That's kind of what you do in some games like Freelancer, you know, like, your player has a level, but it's really just so you can get this better ship that's your armor, you know, basically, you know, so.
Yeah.
So the ship is your paper doll.
Pretty much. Exactly. And that's fine too. So the battles look to be real time. It looks like that's where a lot of the focus is right now, is on the fighting. And they look to be these really pretty real time battles. How much control, like, cause I'm looking at the UI on the video you sent, and it's kind of hard just by watching a video to glean how much control the player has over what's happening around them. Like, do you have like full control over what you shoot at, where you move, that sort of thing? Or does like the AI handle some of that? Is there automation?
A bit of both. So you'll see from the video. I mean, I'm just looking at the video right now. I hope we're looking at the same time frame here because I'm lagging.
There's probably a small delay between you and me. Probably like 5 seconds.
Yeah. So it's an interesting question because we're doing something that I've not really seen before. Maybe you guys have seen a game like this before, but I haven't yet. Basically, you'll have full control of a capital ship. Okay, you know the ship where your commander is based, essentially. So you imagine you're standing there, you're Captain Picard in your Enterprise, right? And you have the movement and everything is full 3D movement, you know, 3-axis. You can hide behind asteroids, quite action packed. You can zoom right in. You'll be able to zoom right into the little AA guns that are shooting there because we wanted this really cinematic experience. But what we also have is a tactical camera. So if you hit the space bar, it actually zooms right out. And you can then control your fleet to go into certain areas. So you could do you could set up like a pincer attack move or something like that. But for, you know, I don't know about you guys, but I'm 33, getting on a bit and getting on a bit. My reflexes are already really slowing down.
I'm 48. I feel you.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe you feel like your reflexes are slowing down a little bit.
I know they are. Yeah.
Yeah. So for me, StarCraft is, I just don't even bother anymore. You know, like I'm a big RTS. I love strategy games, but it's kind of painful that I'm really struggling with them these days. I just don't have the same fast, twitchy gameplay that I used to be able to have. And that's one thing we wanted to do here. We wanted to take a more Total War, I guess, approach where in the beginning of a battle, you can get out into the tactical camera. You can, you know, essentially place the ships where you want to place them, execute a certain strategy, and then it comes back and you control third person, essentially your main ship. Now, that ship will have a skill bar, so you might have your tractor beam, missiles, whatever it might be that you would execute as like an ability bar of commands to get into the very hands-on level with that one ship. But with the other ships, it's more tactical, right? You have like you're positioning them, and obviously a lot of that will be AI controlled, and you'll be able to obviously manage those behaviors. We haven't specifically carved out how we're going to do that yet, whether there's like AI trees behind, you know, before combat or something, whether we're setting up something like that. We've not fully got into that yet, but the current concept is when you go into a battle, it's a bit like, NFL plays, right? You'll set up your play, you'll make them execute it, and then you take control of the one person who's got the ball, right? You take the control of the main ship to destroy it. Now, of course, you can jump into the tactical camera anytime you want, and you can, you know, get a bit more specific about where you're placing people, your ships and things. But in terms of like full control, full 3D control, your main ship's the main point there. Yeah.
Well, you should be on the flagship. So
that makes sense. Yeah. So the idea, well, what we wanted was to say, okay, well, what would a commander feel in a battle, right? You know, you should be the actual commander here. So you're on your comms saying, right, you guys go over there, you guys do a pincer attack over that. We, as a commander, I can talk to my helmsman to be very specific about the movements and so on and so forth.
No, that sounds like exactly my speed. that sounds great. Because, yeah, I love a good RTS, but, like, I also find that as I age, like, I, you know, can't handle that kind of quick. Like, I tried playing Age of Empires 2 the other day, the new definitive version.
It's stressful, man.
And I was like, I don't think I can do this anymore.
I feel your pain.
I mean, I love this. This game has so much good stuff going on, but, like, I need something a little slower, like Settlers or Northgard or
Northgard's great. I love Northgard.
Northgard is really great. Sad note though, I found out that even on the easiest difficulty level, the AI cheats horribly.
Really? This isn't something I didn't realize. I've only played a little bit. I've played like 4 or 5 of the campaign missions and one skirmish, but I've enjoyed it so far.
Yeah, I have too. But someone was telling me that, like, if the AI does not have the limits you have to deal with, so it can build things a lot faster than you can, and that like kind of
that's a shame.
I know. I was like, I'm enjoying this game, and you kind of killed it for me. And so now I've spread it on and killed it for you. No, I probably will keep
playing. Thanks, man.
Sorry.
Thanks, Brian.
I know.
Cheers.
Every party needs a pooper. No, but no, I like the kind of more tactical, like,
yeah,
not slow, but like
naval. Where you're not relying on APM.
Yeah.
Exactly. Like,
thank yeah. you. Exactly. Yes, yeah. yes.
Well, our chief creative, Jason, like he comes from Relic. So he was actually interested. You bring up Age of Empires. He was actually on the Age of Empires 4 team. He was one of the lead gameplay designers.
Oh, wow.
On Age of Empires 4. And we kind of yanked him over to pick Somatic. But his vision was, and he was, you know, he was like a competitive StarCraft player. You know, I mean, he was really good. He said, look, StarCraft, if the average player playing StarCraft, they've got, you know, maybe 80-90% of the content, or maybe even less, because StarCraft is only really a game that you could massively enjoy or open up when you get to a certain level of APM and stuff like that. That's when the game really, really flies, when you really jump into that flow, right? And he felt like that kind of sucked because, you know, everyone should be able to enjoy the game, right? And this is what we want to do with Infinite Fleet. We want to make it so that it's very, very enjoyable for the young bucks, of course, who want to jump into combat and stuff, but also for the you know, the more aged gamers like ourselves are also going to enjoy it. I mean, I don't know about you. I don't know if you've played Total War or not, but that's a series I really enjoy.
Oh yeah, it reminds what you're talking about reminds me of a similar game, another space game called, I don't know if you heard of it, it's called Star Sector, and the battle it's a great game. The battles in there are real time, but you can either take control of an individual ship if you want, if you have the reflexes for it, or you can just be like, "Hey AI, go kill that," and just be like,
I'm literally writing this down right now because that sounds awesome. So Star Sector.
Yeah, it's an indie project by one guy. He's been working on it for like a decade, but it's so good. And the combat, sounds like what you're envisioning here, really sounds similar to me, which is a compliment. But it's funny, whenever I play Total War, the first thing I do is look for a mod that lets me have the AI take over the armies in the battle, because I don't want to do it myself. I just want to be like, okay, Alt F9, you guys do what you got to do. I'll just watch. Ooh, pretty.
That's awesome.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah.
You guys shouldn't have gone over there, but that's why I don't know if I would have done that. So that's okay.
Yeah, because it sucks when you're playing Total War and you like do the auto-resolve battles, and usually, you know, you lose a whole bunch of men that you don't.
Yeah, auto-resolve is never really reliable. So it's like, okay, to really win, you got to go in there. But I don't want to move everybody around all the time. I get tired of that. I find I have less patience as I get older for certain things. And that kind of thing is one of them. And so it's like, okay, give me the mod that lets me hit a button and the AI takes over my guys as well. That's great. And I'm fine with that.
Yeah, for sure.
Give general orders and let the AI sort out the rest.
Actually, you don't even do that with these mods. Like the only one I've really used it with is Warhammer. But you basically like hit Alt F9 or something and it totally takes over. Well, I think you can like keep control of like your main guy if you want, or you could like take it, or you like give the AI everything. Like I think you can control what you give to the AI, but I give the AI everything. Usually just go at it. Just kill him. Just go have kill it. Just go have kill him. Have at it. Just have fun. Have fun.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah, I like what I just bought Warhammer 2 recently when Warhammer 3 got announced. I haven't got my hands into it yet.
It's very good. I've heard Three Kingdoms is their best effort.
Oh, I love it. I love Three Kingdoms. I'm based in China, right? So it kind of appealed to me. What a great game it is.
Yeah, I've heard that's like a lot of people for years said Shogun was their best, and now a lot of people are saying Shogun 2, excuse me.
Yeah, I love Shogun 2, yeah.
But now people are saying Three Kingdoms has supplanted it as their best game. So
that's the case for me. So yeah.
Yeah, I'll probably
get it. Likewise, I'm with you, Spaz. Yeah. Three Kingdoms is utterly engrossing. I don't know about you though, it's quite not overwhelming, but there's a lot to take in. You know,
yes.
there's a whole lot really to take in.
Does the UI
in my current game? I have most of the cavalry locations under my control, so I have almost free cavalry.
Nice. I just keep getting, you know, it's all my court people that cause a problem. You know what I mean? Like the
because you can't keep them happy.
Yeah, I'm struggling to keep them all happy, man. I'm struggling to juggle that. juggle my court. This is why it's great. It's just like real life, you know. Back in the day, I'm sure the emperors really had a tough time.
See, now I'm really interested because I love those political games, like where you're managing personalities as well as armies.
Yeah, that's very much the same. Yeah.
Some of the people in your court can actually hate other people in the court, which will reduce your satisfaction. And if their satisfaction gets too low, they can be bribed away into betraying you.
Yep.
Oh, wow. Okay, I think I'm going to need to get this next time it's on sale.
Three Kingdoms is great. It's definitely worth a play. It's really, yeah, really good fun.
But I do like the Total War... getting back to Infinite Fleet, I like the comparison because they found a really good mix of both meta and micro gameplay, you know?
That's the plan. Yeah. I mean, we just, like I say, I think it made sense to make combat these individual, you know, events as such, these individual instances where you can just focus on your fleet. You can focus on that and you don't need to go back to building a base and whatever else. I'm just looking at the video as well as we're talking. I just want to mention that, of course, this is actually pre-alpha. This is from, I think it was November. So there's still a couple of graphics issues. It's kind of, you know, kind of popping
it's,
in and
it's
out.
It's still
there,
very pretty. It's still a very pretty game. Which engine are you guys using?
Unity 3D. Oh,
okay. Unity, yeah. 3D. It's a very pretty game. And I really... The design, my other co-host and I were talking about today how anime the designs are. It's like these ships really want to turn into robots. They really want to go, like this cruiser right here. It's like it really wants to go SDF1 right frickin' now. Which is not.
Are you an 80s anime fan? Like, are you like into?
I am.
I am an 80s anime. I kind of lost interest in anime after the 80s. But in the 80s, I was like, give me the Battle of the Planets. Oh God, what's the Battleship Yamato? You know, give me all that. Give me Robotech.
Yeah.
Give me all that. That wacky, the speed racer, give me all that stuff. And then I gravitated more toward American cartoons after that. Like,
this game is going to pull you back. You know, you're going to get the nostalgia hits hard, man.
Oh, no, look at this. I'm just like, where are the Veritech fighters? You know, that's what I'm looking at. This
I don't know if you guys caught the announcement that we had. I don't know how close you've been following, but we actually, we've onboarded, what's he called? Vince DiCola.
I did see that. That's amazing.
Yeah, yeah. Folks, I know, right?
If you don't know who Vince DiCola is, he did a lot of the instrumental music for the 1986 Transformers the movie, which you all might know has a special place in Spaz in my heart.
Absolutely, it does.
Very, very special place. God, Spaz, I think when everything goes back to normal, you'll have to come down here to join us on a Transformers convention, because they do have them and they're amazing. And you would probably love it. Or maybe we'd go up there.
I mean, I used to work at Star Trek conventions. I was convention staff here. So
Right.
I'm not new to the convention scene.
I haven't done it in years. I've never gone. Yeah. Dino on YouTube, he's like, you mean this thing doesn't transform? And I'm like, I don't think it does.
It'd be cool if it did, though, wouldn't it? It'd be fucking cool if it did.
It'd be like Strike Suit Zero, the MMO, basically.
Oh, that was a fun game.
Once you got used to the controls, which were a little wackadoo, it really ended up being fun. But at first, like, how do I do anything? Especially when you first switch to the strike suit, it's like, oh my God, why aren't I moving? That was my frustration.
Oh, you just see Dino's just said missiles look like from Robotech. Yeah, so this this is actually a placeholder VFX, but you'll see the general direction of what we're doing. It's called an Otano Circus. So I can't remember. Otano Circus was something that was really huge in like sort of 80s and early 90s. It kind of still is, I guess, in anime. It's always
kind
of
very there,
a lot of
Otano Circus?
Yeah, what's the
full? Yeah. Go ahead. It's the idea that you fire off this swarm of missiles. This was a big thing in Robotech. Otano was the artist who conceived the idea of using a swarm of missiles that have independent tracking. And it's called the circus because they can bob and weave, and it's just this river you could dance through, so to speak.
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah, so, I mean, like you said, I mean, you can see our direction here is very much, you know, 80s, early 90s anime. We just love that stuff, you know, and the music will be as well. And yeah, but I don't think, I mean, from looking at it, as you can see, it's not, I think it's still got quite a good East-West bridge. You know what I mean? It's not totally, you know, cartoon anime. There's still a lot of, I mean, you just look at the scale right now and how it's playing. It's not totally that way, but a lot of the VFX and obviously the sort of style of the ships is very anime inspired.
It's not like cel shaded or anything. It's much more gritty American, like big detail right there, you know, like, so, I mean, I do love the designs, and I was looking at some of the ships you have for sale, and folks, if you're curious about this, right now you can buy a ship, I believe. There are three available. I think there are three available.
Four, in fact. Four okay, at the moment. Four. So basically, I do want to talk about this because I think I want to be clear that actually this is actually a free-to-play game. Okay. So when it is launched in, you know, it's going to be sort of late 2022, the full, you know, after the open beta, we're in very closed early access alpha situation right now. Mm. So, you know, it's got another two and a half years before it's really properly launched, at which point it will be, you know, a totally free to play game. But, you know, right now, obviously we're funding development. I mean, my job is to go out and look for investment, and we're doing, you know, quite well on that front, actually. We've raised over 4 million so far. But we've got more to go. Cause it's a very ambitious game. We're going for AAA here. You know, I mean, this, what you're seeing right now is so early days, man. And we still obviously need development funding as well. And what we're doing with the early access ships, really, which people can buy, it's mostly, of course, supporting our development, giving access to people in the very early stages so that they can be part of this development cycle. And you know, obviously give us feedback. We get some analysis from how the players behave as well. And you know, just being part from the early days. And as I say, you know, these ships that are available now, they're totally limited edition, right? Everything you're seeing right now, it won't be accessible when the game is launched, other than from that peer-to-peer marketplace that I spoke about. So you know, people could sell these ships in future for INF tokens later, but they're only available right now. And it's really a bit like, if you ever played Warframe, they had this, did you guys ever look at Warframe much?
Yeah, I've played a little bit.
I quite like, you know, Space Ninjas, good fun. They had this founders program. I think it's kind of the same thing, really, you know, where just people who helped out in the early stages get some really, really cool stuff, like people who've supported us in that development. But well, yeah, that's kind of the main thing.
Well, let me ask you a thing, because this brings up kind of a Star Citizen comparison, because you can buy ships for that too.
Please don't compare us to Star Citizen.
No, I'm not comparing you to Star Citizen. I'm asking you a question. What they do is when you buy a ship, you have quote unquote insurance. And if that ship gets blown up, you can pay to have it replaced, or you might have full insurance or something. So say someone buys one of these limited edition ships and it gets blowed up. What is the plan then? Do they can they pay to replace it? Is it just gone forever?
Your ships don't get blown up in our game. There's an emergency. We're not doing that right now. Although the designers are talking about like sort of quote unquote danger zones, which people could voluntarily go into, which may be, you know, full destruction. But we don't want players to, you know, drop some money on a ship and then it just is able to be destroyed. I mean, that seems kind of harsh. But there is, if people want to go into danger zones, this is currently just being, it's not fully fleshed out. So it's early days and it could change.
Sure.
But there is, you know, there's a possibility of that with obviously a high risk, high reward situation going on. But generally speaking, that you don't have that danger. You're not going to have your ships be destroyed. You know,
that's good.
Yeah.
I believe you said something earlier about it being a PvE game. Like,
that's right. Yes.
Is there not going to be PvP?
It's something. So it's all about scope, right? And also a bit about the story. So like right now, when the players get dropped into the game, we're all part of the United Soul Federation. Within the United Soul Federation, you are part of a different faction, which we call Citadels, which all have their own, you know, their own personality and such like, which you'll be able to choose. But we are, you know, as each Citadel signs up for the USF as such, as long as it has it supports the core tenets of the USF, you know, don't murder each other and all this, you know, the commandments, shall we say, then you're part of the USF, right? And basically in the first seasons, yes, it's all PvE. I won't say any more than that. Let's just see where
that's
things
fine.
Go.
We prefer, at least some of us, Spaz and I specifically, prefer PvE. Yeah. We prefer co-op. We prefer.
I do too. I do too.
Cooperative rather than competitive. So that sounds great to me.
I suppose that doesn't rule out the possibility of dueling other players.
Yeah, so like some kind of arena thing.
There's no permanent consequences for winning or losing. It's just
indeed
you can get practice.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, we spoke about, I mean, again, look, this is no promises or anything, but we did speak about the idea of having like dual arenas and stuff like that with holographic ships and things, you know, a bit Ender's Game-ish, you know.
Right. No, that sounds fantastic. Because I was anti-multiplayer for years because I had some bad experiences with like Diablo and, the original X-Wing versus TIE Fighter. And I was like, yeah, I'm done with you people. I want nothing to do with any of you. And it took this community to drag me back, kicking and screaming, to try multiplayer games again.
Yeah, I'm very much a PvE player. I even in board games, I really like I like cooperative board games, loads like Pandemic and Cthulhu and stuff like that.
Wait, they're cooperative board games?
Oh yeah. We've played some through Tabletop Sim.
Brian. Oh, really?
Yeah.
God, I cannot remember. I apologize.
Well, it's been years since we have. But yes.
Every board game I know of, I grew up with, like Monopoly and Candyland and all that stuff where it's all competitive. So, like,
yeah, aggressively win all. But no, there's some great cooperative games out there, you know. There's
that's good.
Arkham Horror is a great one if you get your hands on it. But anyway, I digress.
No.
I played it.
No, that's,
I know.
That's exciting to hear because, like, one of the reasons I don't play Eve, for example, is because I'm going to use a bad word here, folks, but the asshole factor. There are so many assholes in that game.
That's funny.
And my MMO of choice is actually Lord of the Rings Online because people don't do that. We just run around doing quests and we'll join a faction or a guild or whatever, and we'll help each other out. And this guy will craft me a bow and this guy will craft me a thing, you know? And so
is Lord of the Rings Online free to play now, or is it still subscribed?
It's been free to play for a long time. They do have a subscribe model. Like you can free to play up to level 20, and then it starts getting a little limited. But yeah, it's still pretty free to play. I am actually a subscriber because I really, it's such a low key environment. It doesn't ask much, but like if I just want to play a game where like here's the thing, here's a task list. of things to do. Go do it. Like, all right, yeah. That's all I want sometimes. You know, that's all my that's all my brain can handle sometimes. And Lord of the Rings Online is great at that. It's like, oh, pick these potatoes for this hobbit farmer. Okay, I can do that. That's fine. I'll do that for 10 minutes. That's all right.
That's an amazing quest. I really want to pick some potatoes for a hobbit farmer right now.
Oh my god, yeah, they're putting together a whole there's a series of quests where like this part of Hobbiton is putting together a farmer's market and you're helping them I'm not even lying. You're helping them gather the ingredients. Like cabbage and crap for this hobbit farmer's market. Oh man,
you're selling it to me, dude. I'm going to go and check it out.
Oh, it's great.
I you know what? I actually played it when it first came out because I'm a massive Lord of the Rings and I bought it right away. But I was 16 at the time. I had no idea it was a subscription thing. And my dad was having none of it. My dad would not pay monthly for a game. He's like, you can't buy, you know, can't have subscriptions for games. That's ridiculous, you know? And then I got a job and I didn't have time to right. Well, not that's not, you know what I mean, but
no, this game is great because I mean I work full-time too, but it's great to like, I want to log in for 10 minutes and do one quest.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm done. Yeah. I felt like I accomplished something today. Okay, I got my gaming. Okay, I feel better. So it's really great for that. It really is great for that. And they have almost the entire world now, like almost the entirety of Middle Earth. Like they just
amazing.
They added more
Undying Lands as well, or just
what was that?
Do they have the Undying Lands as well, or is it mostly
where are the Undying Lands? I don't know
where the elves go. You know the you know sort of the elven.
I don't Valhalla think they. Almost. I don't think they have that yet. I think the latest big expansion they had was that big City of the Dead right outside of Minas Morgul. Is it Minas Morgul?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And but they added Mordor a couple years ago. I think the Mines of Moria was a big expansion a while back. They've added
look at this.
They've added Rohan is a big one. I haven't gotten there yet, but you know there's a lot of horse combat there. Sounds so yeah, cool. It's a huge game and it's still very pretty. Like I love the Shire and I love what's the name of the elf place? The elf.
Lorien.
The big town, there, what's it called?
Yeah, Lothlorien.
Is that what it's called?
You're thinking of where the council happens.
Yes, yes, that place.
God, that's why that's doing my head
that
in.
That place. What the hell is that place?
That's really doing my head in. Oh, I'm getting
Rivendell?
Rivendell. Thank you. Yeah. Yes.
Oh, yeah. That's it. Yeah, Rivendell is also gorgeous in that game. But like there's so many pretty places in that game. And it's just fun to run around. They've got really fun like events. So yeah, that's my MMO of choice because it doesn't ask much. So I guess leading back to your game, like is it like just a big open thing where you find stuff to do? Are there quests? Are there missions?
Well, there's definitely quests. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, for sure. And a lot of that's going to, I mean, so, you know, a lot of the basic quests will be somewhat procedural. But what we wanted to do was make it a bit like, almost like D&D, right? Where we as a company, like, you know, Pixelmatic, are essentially the DM. And we're setting up places where, you know, there will be conflicts and things, and the players will obviously band together and choose where they go. And based on those choices, that's where all this sort of directed narrative comes in, right? Because it won't, you know, I mentioned the Earth event, for example. We might have like multiple events happening, you know, synchronously at different points in the galaxy. So what you might think, there's always going to be this push and pull territorially. This I'm focusing on combat here, of course. But if you, let's say some division, like you set up your space game, Junkie Division, and you know, you have thousands and thousands of people building massive space stations. Well, the Atrox are going to come and try and destroy it. Right. So your division, you know, you as a division leader would be able to even set up quests potentially to your division to actually say, hey, come now, you know, come now, help. And you've really got to depend on your community to do that. It is a very, so we really want to drive the social side of this game. I know obviously you were saying multiplayer, you know, like the PvP kind of sucks, but for PvE, we definitely want to have a strong social thread here. Okay. Now, NPCs there will of course be sort of campaign missions and key characters, and that's definitely going to happen. Okay. And you know, these are not obviously going to be in the procedurally generated parts of the galaxy, right? You know, it's going to be around Mars base or Moon base or you know, Alpha Centauri or whatever it might be. So yeah, this is where some of the carved out parts will be, where a lot of the story threads kind of hang together. Yeah.
Okay, now that sounds great, because I love having a direction. You know, I love not being exactly told what to do, but just like, here's a task, you know?
Sure.
Like I was just this weekend I was playing Breath Edge, which I was enjoying, but after a while it stops giving you tasks and it's like, okay, what do we want?
What do I do now? I felt that way with No Man's Sky.
Yeah, it's gotten better though. I was playing that recently and it's definitely gotten better with more micro tasks from moment to moment. Cause yeah, mm-hmm. the first time I tried it, I was like, what's happening?
Yeah. I didn't get into it, but I know it has improved a lot. I need to download it again because I bought it on the first release and I felt Sean Murray got way too much flack for that. I mean, the marketing at the end of the day, from what I've seen, at least anyway, because I do, you know, read the articles and stuff, it seems like what he originally promised is getting closer and closer to that point, right?
Yeah,
it's exceeded.
Yes. Wonderful. I mean, that's great. And I think that Sean got way too much because, they were a team of like 12 people or something, and what they accomplished was unbelievable. Yeah, they did incredible work.
Yeah, and like their previous game was a game called like Joe Danger, where it was like the motorcycle game, and they're going from that to No Man's Sky. It's like, all right, like they deserved a little flack for the marketing being a little misleading. Let's admit that.
I understand.
I will admit, and I'm not much of a survival game guy, even I will admit No Man's Sky has gotten quite a bit better in giving the player like more focused things to do rather than just, oh, here's a planet. Like, what am I doing? No, it'll actually like, you need this to fix this. Now you need this to fix that. Now you need this to build that. It's like, okay, this is better. This is better.
They basically, what they did was they took the tutorial and they made it part of the storyline.
Right.
If you're following what's called the Atlas Path, you are going through that storyline, you have something that is directed. And you can continue on that path as far as it goes, or you can go off and do your own thing, but at least you have that direction, that main quest you can go back to when you want to do it.
Yeah, yeah. That sounds good. And I must admit, the thing that put me off a little bit about No Man's Sky in the first place was I just wanted to get into space, and they had like this hour or maybe I think it's 2 hour long.
It's
intro.
Not that long now. It's like you'll be in space within half an hour.
That's good, because I was just like, oh my goodness gracious. I mean, like just walking around, you know, you need to have oxygen or something.
No, I'm with
like,
you.
I know it's a survival game, but I just want to get out into space.
they put that in as they forced that in as part of the tutorial now.
Understandable, yeah.
So it's teaching you how to survive.
Yes.
And once you're off of that first planet, you can go pretty much wherever you want within reason.
It doesn't take that much to get to that I'm like with you, like I'm just here for the spaceships, man. You know, I want to walk around. I could go outside and do that. Like I want a spaceship, dang it. You know, but no, the time to spaceship, as I like to call it, is a lot lower now.
That's good. I might download it again. I mean, last time I played it was in release.
If you have a moment, it's come quite a long way. It's prettier. The planets are more vibrant.
There are living ships. There are companions now. They just added in the last major update companions that you can feed on planets, and then they can join you.
And pets.
Ooh, that's cool.
Yeah, pets. Yeah.
Yeah. And they've added underwater bases. Not to veer away so much from Infinite Fleet, but you know, that's a conversation. Speaking of, we do have some questions. I don't know how to take this one. Well, first, I think you kind of, Thorsten asked how player factions will be handled. And you did talk about that just now a little bit with, what were you calling them? They weren't player factions.
Divisions. Yes. Yeah, that's right. So, again, like I say, it's early days. So how to set up a division and all that, we don't have the mechanics at this stage.
Of course.
We're focusing on combat and making that core loop great at this stage, and mining and stuff. But, like I say, we want it to be an extremely social experience where in the division, you will be able to build out, like I say, space stations, defense platforms, and things like that. And they, another example would be like an NPC Titan ship, Titans class ship, we call them, which are these like huge ships, like massive sort of super star destroyer kind of things, which again, people can pool their resources together to build. And then the, you know, the division leaders or whatever can actually send those to various, you know, events or whatever to aid. You won't be able to control it specifically in our current concept, but yeah, people will be able to send that strategically and obviously, you know, start a ruckus basically. But yeah, so space stations, you'll be able to dock within them, and there'll be various NPCs, and you'll be able to build out different modules. And what we really want is just that base building, that area of RTS, which is something that I absolutely loved. You know, you mentioned Age of Empires 2 back before. I mean, one of the things I just love to do in that game is just build the bases, right? And that's something that we want players to have a really, really good time doing. And you don't need to just, you know, you can still do some smaller scale base building. You can still set up various, you know, mining plants on an asteroid or whatever it might be. But to get to the really uber scale stuff, that's when divisions are going to come in, right? Because you need people to kind of work together to get the resources to be able to, because it's unrealistic that one little fleet could build a, you know, a planet spanning space station, right? So we want an element of consistency. And this is something that Samson, our CEO, is really driving throughout the entire game, is consistency. He's a real stickler for detail. He's very hands-on when it comes to the lore of the game, the physics of it, which is something that I don't personally dive into too much, but Samson and the writers, they really focus on making sure the physics is going to be top-notch, and everything as much as possible is going to be consistent, because he feels a lot of sci-fi games out there kind of lack that consistency. And so he really wants to push that as much as possible. It's one of his core pillars for this game. You know, because I think when we first started designing, you know, I joined the team as a designer in the first place. It was very much, you know, every time he wanted to put something in, he'd say, okay, so what's the physics of that? How's that going to work? Is this realistic? Is this going to, you know, is this possible? Right. And that is extremely important for Infinite Fleet. Yeah.
And
I went on a massive tangent. I realized we started talking about divisions, and then
that is totally physics, fine. But. That is totally fine. I guess this question from Dino, he asks if there are trade wars or Starfleet 2 aspects to the game. But I guess he's asked
Starfleet 2. I'm not sure.
Starfleet 2 is an amazing game from 1989. I could talk. I'm going to stop right there. It's my favorite game. I could talk about it for an hour. I'm not going to. I guess he's asking if there are going to be non-combat missions, like diplomatic missions or asteroid mining, saving a planet, that sort of thing. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we're definitely planning that. Diplomatic missions, I'm not sure. It's still early days on that. I can't confirm.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like there's
definitely
much
intended.
It doesn't sound like there's a lot of diplomacy going on right now. It's mostly
currently no. Yeah. But a very strong inspiration for us has been Star Trek TNG particularly. And what, you know, there will be likely other alien races and things like that. As for how diplomacy happens, I don't really want to comment too much, because I think the designers are going to be like, hey, Chris, you know, that's probably not true, or something like this.
No, of course.
It's definitely not just going to be combat. You know, we want to make sure that exploration, definitely the mining and trade routes and things like that are going to be a very, very important thing, because we want the backbone of the USF to be built as well as the actual combat arm. You to enjoy it depending on what you want to do. And, you know, a lot of people have said to me, oh, can you be a pirate? And we say, no, you can't be a pirate. You're not a bounty hunter. You're not a pirate. This isn't the universe that we're building here. This isn't Rebel Galaxy, right? This is more Star Trek, right? You can't really, I mean, I'm sure that, you know, Ferengi, they're not really pirates, they're more traders, but anyway,
there were some pirates in Star Trek, but you don't see them very often, but there are
the Orion pirates, for example.
Yeah, okay, right.
They do have there was also the Mirrodorn. They have the Mirrodorn Raider.
Oh, right.
In TNG.
That's right. I forgot about that one.
But for us, it's not going to be, I mean, certainly at this stage anyway, it's not something that, you know, pirating isn't something that we're particularly focused on at this stage. We want players to play together, right?
Yeah,
for the greater good, you know.
The greater good.
Though I could see a pirate faction being a thing where you're not joining them, but you are hunting them.
Also a possibility. And, you know, I mean, again, it certainly could be a thing. Yeah, it certainly could be a thing.
Well, we should start wrapping up because my cat is very, I know I keep using this excuse, but she is walking around my feet. I don't know if you guys can hear it, just me, the whiniest of meows, because it is almost feeding time. And so we try to keep these between an hour and an hour and a half anyway.
Sure.
So folks, the game is Infinite Fleet. You can go to infinitefleet.com and sign up to get into the alpha. Right now, it's a very small alpha. They're letting people in at random. Now, if you buy a ship, does that increase your chance? I mean, of getting into
you will get access. What we're doing is a rolling out. So we just started the alpha like last week or something.
Right.
So we got our first investors in there. And then every week we're going to be adding 30 more people in. But if you buy a ship, you will get guaranteed access to alpha. It's just a bit of a matter of time. We will get more people in as we sort of make sure that we're just, you know, testing the waters right now, making sure the servers are all good, you know.
right.
But one thing I do want to mention as well, actually, just before we close off, just for anyone who is maybe in the Eurozone that's listening or watching, is that actually if you don't want to just, you know, just buy a ship in the game, you can actually, you know, as a minimum of 100 bucks, you can actually invest in the game and get equity as well.
Oh, really?
But Yeah. That's something. It's also going to be the case for Americans, but we're going through the SEC right now, the Securities and Exchange Commission.
Sure.
And that takes time. So that's going to be a few months yet. But for euros, you can invest and actually invest in our company. So we also have reward tiers, a bit like Kickstarter. So, you know,
and if you invest, then similar to
Fig. And Fig, yeah. Exactly. Just like that. Yeah, indeed. And you get like a profit. A net profit paid dividend every annually, and also equity in the company if we got acquired or anything like that. And we just have such an amazing team on this thing. Go check out infinitefleet.com and check out the team, because we've got a lot of AAA devs here that have come from BioWare, from Relic.
It sounds like you have a lot of talent behind this.
I started this. I know. Sorry, I don't want to. I know we're going to wrap up because of your cat, this thing. I joined them 4 years ago, and the Infinite Fleet team was like four people out of 12 in the team. We were doing some outsourcing for a game called like Vainglory. And now we've got 40 people working on this game with some unbelievable, you know, talent from across the globe. And we're just so excited about this thing, and we've got great feedback about how it looks. It's still, you know, I'm going to be honest, like the alpha is still pretty rough right now. You know, there's a lot of bugs. It's very limited, but I hope that people, when they join in, they can just see the vision and they see where this thing's going to go, because we're going to be dropping releases every month or two with great content. And it's just going to build out like this throughout the next couple of years. So it's not Star Citizen. It's not, you know, buy this ship and wait for 8 years before it gets released. We're stepping up the game with this thing and making sure it's released organically.
You're the one that said don't do any Star Citizen.
Oh yeah, sorry, man. Yeah, I fell into the trap. Not bad. Damn it. It's so hard not to fall into the trap. But guys, look, I really appreciate you letting me come on and talk about Infinite Fleet. It's such a privilege to talk to you guys, because, you know, Space Game Junkies is an awesome channel. And
thank you.
You know, one of the go-to places for like-minded folk, eh?
Oh, thank you. We work very hard on it. So, folks, again, the game is Infinite Fleet. You can sign up for the alpha. You can also buy in via buying a ship if you're in America, or investing if you're in Europe, soon to apparently come to America. So there's not going to be a stream tomorrow because I have a dentist appointment, so no stream. So we'll be back on Thursday with probably some more Starfleet 2. And what are we playing on Thursday? What's this game called? 10 miles to safety. Yeah, co-op zombie game. It's fun. We're going to play that on Thursday. And then next week on the podcast, we're going to be welcoming on the developer of this like late 80s looking space adventure game called SpaceNet that just came out. And it looks really like a love letter to like late 80s monochrome gaming. So that's going to be exciting. So Chris, again, thank you so much for taking time out of your morning. I can't believe it's
been Oh, no, thank you. It's been a lot of fun.
And folks, thank you so much for being active in the chat. We got some good questions, a lot of good chat. It seems like people are already talking about buying ships in there. So that's great.
Just quickly as well. Our second trailer is going to be dropping in a few weeks. Do you guys want to premiere it? Do you guys want to show it to your?
Sure. I have no idea how to do that, but we'll figure it out.
No worries. I'll talk to you on Discord about it. But yeah, okay. It's super exciting. It's going to look great. And it's going to be the first time we hear Vince's music.
I was going to say, is that the one with Vince DiCola?
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to go listen to that soundtrack right now. Have a great night, everyone. Be safe. Be well. Take care of each other. And we'll see you back here Thursday morning. Have a great one, y'all. Bye-bye.